Welcome back to Wandering the Weekend. In this episode, we talk about our adventure to Fort Collins, Colorado. We then chat about our recent adventure up Highway 55. Then we have a wine, beer, and cheese pairing with wine from Milner Heritage Winery, barrel-aged sours from Eponymous Brewing, and cheese from Redhead Creamery. All this and more, and thanks for joining us on Wandering the Weekend. Well, and we're back after almost an entire year hiatus.
Has it been?
Yeah, I just checked. The last one I edited around, it was like 6/20.
Really?
2021. Yeah. So.
Wow.
We're back in the pod basement after quite a few road trips.
It's been a busy year.
Been an extremely busy year. So in this episode, we are going to talk about our little adventure up Highway 55 today.
Yeah.
So we made it about halfway between here and Alexandria. So, I'm seeing lots of cheese and wine and beer in front of us.
Yeah.
Should we just dive right into it here? Or?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about where they came from. The wine came from a little winery we went to actually just yesterday.
And that's in Kimball, Minnesota,
right,
which is just south of St. Cloud on 55, just up past Annandale a little bit.
And it's called Milner Heritage Vineyards and Winery, and it was a really cute little place. So we have a red and a white here. The new house is the red, and we tried it yesterday at the winery, and it's a nice full-bodied red. Probably drink it with a steak or something.
Yeah, that
like
was definitely
that.
A steak wine.
And then the other one, do you want to pronounce the other one?
Freizeit.
And that's a white, dry, kind of sitting out in the sunshine, enjoying summer kind of wine. So we got a couple of those bottles, a couple of the reds. I think I got a rosé from there. Yeah, so that's the wine. And then we have cheese from Redhead Creamery, LLC, right?
Yep, Redhead Creamery, and that's in Broughton, Minnesota.
Broughton.
Sorry.
My aunt and uncle and cousins were from Broughton.
So that's just a little bit further up 55, and now we're just a little bit southwest from Sauk Center.
So we got several cheeses from that creamery, and it was really fun. Nova really enjoyed the cows that were right in the parking lot, basically.
Yeah.
Right? And so we're going to try that, and then we also just went to the farmer's market this morning, so I decided to put a couple French breakfast radishes and some sugar snap peas fresh from the farmer's market this morning on our little platter here. And we're going to have the radishes with the French way to eat French breakfast radishes is with unsalted butter, and you dip it in there. And then I added a little bit of pink, like really fine pink Himalayan sea salt.
Wait.
Have you ever had this?
No. Is this real?
This is for real. Yeah, absolutely. I think I had it actually, interestingly enough, at a Scandinavian restaurant as a starter once, and it's one of the most delicious things ever. So, and then I just put a couple little, you know, the fancy pickles, cornichon.
the cornichons.
And
that's a callback to episode one.
Yeah. Is it episode one?
Yeah, episode one where we were making fun of cornichons.
Okay. So, yeah. So that's a kind of our little snacky platter. And then we also, I think we should talk a little bit about our big road trip that we were just on. We went out to Fort Collins, Colorado. And on the way back, we hit up a brewery in South Dakota.
That was in Brookings, South Dakota, and that was Eponymous Brewing. And it was probably, one of the top two breweries on that trip, for sure.
That was really fun. So we have three different aged sours. They're barrel-aged sours. Blueberries, South Dakota blueberries. I think the brewer had said even that he was out picking the berries, like they as a brewery go out and just pick the berries. And then this one with apricot. But let's talk a little bit about our adventures lately, or what we've been up to.
We've had a lot of life changes. That's why it took so long to get back to podcasting here. So
yeah.
So I know the big move was into the house last year.
We talked about that the last time
we got together
on the old podcast.
Yeah, but now I got
a
new job.
We're settled in. Yeah, you got a new job. Nova's growing up quickly. The boys are growing up quickly.
Oh, no kidding.
We've been spending a lot of time in the backyard on the trampoline. I'm trying to talk you into getting a pool, but you're very stubborn.
Well, let's just dive right into our trips then. So, I mean, we've had two big ones recently, and the first one was down to Fort Collins and back.
And that was really fun. We took my mom and Nova through Nebraska, and that was boring as hell. I hate that. Actually, on the way home, we did do a corner of Nebraska that was really beautiful unexpected.
It was still kind of, there wasn't a whole lot to do between Colorado and Nebraska, or in South Dakota, where we traveled through Nebraska.
There wasn't anything to do. Yes, you are correct. However, it was beautiful to look at, and it was an interesting topography that we don't normally see, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
But from Nebraska to Colorado, that is just a hellscape. I mean, truly, of giant semi-trucks scaring the crap out of me constantly. And nothing fields. And a lot of, what is the thing that we, cement mixers? Remember those? All on the side of the highway. Remember the cement mixer signs? Yeah. That was so weird. So I hate Nebraska. Omaha's okay. The upper, or is it the lower southwest corner of Nebraska was really pretty on the way home. Other than that, Nebraska could just, I could just leave it.
Oh, okay. Well, we did stop at a couple of fun breweries, though. Thunderhead was pretty good.
Yep. Thunderhead was nice. Yep. Nova enjoyed the pizza there.
Yeah.
And the beer was all right. I think we had brought a couple home, maybe.
We brought some more of that, their seltzers. I don't know why you picked some of that up that was way too sweet.
We still have those. Yeah, they're like drinking soda pop.
I still don't understand why you picked those up.
Because I thought that they were going to be delicious, and they're not.
Yeah, just they were a little too sticky and sweet. The beer was decent, though, and the pizza was good. It had a little bit of... It needed to be cooked faster. Faster and hotter. Hotter and faster.
We did get a Tin Tacker there, of course. Oh, we should talk about your Tin Tacker collection. I think that's started since last year and now has taken over this basement.
Well, but on purpose.
I know.
You specifically said, let's start doing Tin Tackers.
No, it's really cool.
Yeah.
But we have probably, 20 of them down here now? Now he's counting. And you have to remember the one we just got yesterday.
19. So 20 altogether.
20 altogether.
So we have our 20th. So that was the first day of that trip. And then we finally made it to Colorado.
Yes.
Fort Collins.
It's funny because once you get out of the god-awful state of Nebraska, I'm sorry, Nebraska people, if you're listening. It is, you're nice people. It's just a boring state to drive through. Anyways, it's like the second you get out of Nebraska, the sky opens up.
Yep.
And the hills start rolling and it gets really grassy, kind of grassland looks.
And civilization disappears.
And disappears until you reach Fort Collins or that area anyways. But the sky is bigger in Colorado. It's just a fact. So we drove through that. That was really, really beautiful. Finally got to Fort Collins, and the first thing we had to do was go to a
bunch of breweries.
No.
What do we have to do?
Grocery store.
Well, that we're not talking about the grocery stores, yes. But we were also like an hour early for check-in, and we needed to waste an hour of time. So if you are a follower of this podcast, you know that I like to stop at my grocery stores, and this was one of the only regional chains I'd never been in was King Soopers, which is owned by Kroger's.
Yeah, and it was a cool grocery store.
It was a cool grocery. I was really disappointed by the second one I went to, but the first one we went to was really cool.
Huge.
It was huge. But it was also part box store, too. It was like half grocery, half
Target. Almost like a Target. Yeah. Like a super Target kind of thing. So yeah, and then we stayed in a little Airbnb.
Yeah, it was a cute Airbnb, and they were super friendly. And
lovely backyard with a nice garden and all that good stuff. Nova really liked it, and there was two bedrooms. My mom and Nova slept in one. That was nice to have my mom there for help. And
walking distance from at least four breweries?
I think we more than four.
Well, but the when we got to Odell and those ones are a little bit more of a hike.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But like easily.
But like within blocks of like four or five breweries.
Yeah.
We're right in, what is that called? What is that part of town called?
Is it Old Town or something?
Old Town, yeah. It was like in the heart of Old Town. So walking right into like the cutest little touristy part of Fort Collins. And so we'd spent a lot of time walking around there. So we spent a lot of time there walking around, going to breweries, going to restaurants, doing ice cream, all that good stuff. It was really, really quite fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
We also did a couple distilleries, or at least one distillery. We still have some, I think it's Jalapeno. We went to the Copper Muse.
Yep.
And that was really nice. We sat outside, and it was kind of in this little square area that was really touristy kind of thing.
But kitschy and fun.
Yeah, super fun. And then the last night we were there, we had done a long brewery tour, walked all over the place. What breweries did we see at that day?
Was that we're talking about the second day?
We're talking about the day that we took the long walk.
Well, first we went to Odell, which is one of the big breweries there.
Yep.
Then we went to Sweetwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the one that we went to? Another one that had like a snowflake. Mm. It was like Snowbank Brewing.
Something like that.
Yes, Snowbank Brewing. And then we went to New Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the biggest disappointment for me on that trip was New Belgium.
It's just really touristy.
And none of the beers were like at Odell when we were having like when I had the 90 shilling, it was like fresh and vibrant and it just popped, where like everything that I got at New Belgium tasted like it just came out of the liquor store.
Right. But then on the way home, we decided after, you know, having a few beers, why not have a cocktail? So so we went to Drytown
Distillery.
And had some cocktails and some snacks, and it was really nice. They were very,
very accommodating.
Yep.
Yep.
So that was kind of our Fort Collins trip. We did take a drive, a day trip up to Estes Park, Rocky Mountain National Park area. Did a couple breweries there.
Yeah, avoid Estes Park Brewing. That one was just kind of eh. But I mean, the only good thing about it is they had food.
They had mediocre food.
Yeah, well, they had food, though. So if you're looking for a beer and food, if you're going there for to specifically visit breweries, Rock Cut is the brewery to go to.
Right.
It was probably my favorite brewery on the trip outside of Eponymous.
Yeah, it was really, really delicious.
So it was amazing. The beer there was just, I brought Pilsner's home back from there, and the crowlers just popped.
Their hazy IPAs were really good, too.
Yep.
Which are my favorite.
Overall, just a wonderful experience. By the way, if anybody is following our Beer Pluma TikTok channel, I did do some reviews of both Odell and Rock Cut there. So be sure to look us up on TikTok now that we got that up and running.
Yes, he's constantly on the TikTok. He's like, I gotta go do my TikTok like you're a 15-year-old girl. Anyways, that was the short version of our trip. And I'm really looking forward to trying these sours.
Yeah.
From South Dakota. That was on the last leg.
Yes.
The very last day.
There wasn't really much. So we did stop at Pierre, but there wasn't really much there to talk about.
Not really. The hotel was nice.
The restaurant we went to was okay.
Yeah, it was just kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you want to do the touristy
family
stuff.
We found a car hinge.
Oh, yeah.
That was my
car hinge. Yeah, that was a wild ride.
Oh, that was my favorite part. So somewhere out in the middle of Nebraska, between Fort Collins and South Dakota, there's a place called Carhenge. Mm-hmm. And it is literally a reconstruction of Stonehenge made out of old used cars. Very kitschy, very fun. Don't drive out of your way to see that. But if you have...
Unless you really like kitschy and...
Yeah.
Take a picture.
If you are definitely in the area, it is completely worth the stop. I chuckled throughout the whole thing. I thought it was fun.
Nova thought it was fun, too.
Yes.
And it was nice just to get out and stretch our legs.
Yep.
Yeah, and we got some cute pictures of Nova in front of the
We'll have to put that up on our Instagram page. And if anybody is wondering where to find us on Instagram, it is wandering_weekendmn.
That was our trip. It was a really fun time. We bought way too much coffee. We drank a lot of beer. We had a good time. Ate some good food. Nova had a blast. My mom had a blast. It was really fun.
Yeah.
But now we're home, and we've done a couple little weekend wanders since that trip. That was a few weeks ago. Last weekend, we went up to the Taylor's Falls area with the boys. That was really fun. We ended up going to a brewery that was having a festival, which...
We try to avoid. We like the space. We like to be kind of on our own.
The kids like, you know... They like to sit and play a board game or something while we're at a brewery. So yeah, there was not really any place to sit.
So this was at a new brewery. It was Balsam River or Balsam Wood or Balsam Lake something.
Yeah.
It was a new brewery. I don't want to talk about it too much because I'd like to go back there again when it's a little bit slower. The beers we had were good, but I didn't really have a time to like really develop my palate
for them.
Right,
it was slam-packed and raining, so we couldn't be outside. And we'll go back on not the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
So we did that last weekend, Taylor's Falls kind of area. That was really fun. And then this weekend, yesterday, we went to...
On the 55 tour.
55 tour. Back to the 55 tour. Yeah. So kind of circling back to the Milner Heritage Vineyard and Winery. I have two types of wine here, like we had talked about before. Do you want to give them a whirl?
Yes. So this is the Neuhaus. The two owners came from Austria. And Neuhaus is the name of the town that they were in.
Oh, okay. Didn't know
that they lived in. So, and this is made with Marquette. Does that mean anything to you?
Marquette is just a local kind of, it's like a northern grape. Minnesota wines often have Marquette grapes.
So they recommend doing this with beef dishes and with pork, and especially Austrian schnitzel, if you know how to do that. And it tends to be a little bit more crisp and fruitier. And I do agree. So they compare this one with their other flagship beer, which is Draga.
Wine.
What's that?
You said beer.
Oh, sorry. With their other flagship wine, which is Draga. Mm-hmm. But they said that this one is way more down to earth and it's not barrel aged.
So yeah, it's a dark, full body red wine. It's got, I think it has notes of cherry. It's kind of really maybe stone fruit. It's dry, but it is on the sweeter side of dry. Totally very drinkable. It would be delicious with a steak or even just these lovely cheeses that we have. And the price point for the wine was really reasonable. I think they were about $15 a bottle. So now I'm trying the white.
That's the Freizeit.
Yes. And that's very clean and bright and minerally and dry on the dry side, but also pretty fruity. Like I said, delicious to just sit out on the back deck, enjoy a glass under the sun. nice cold glass.
This one I really felt, so when I like my wine, I like it dry, a little bit fruity, but also when I'm sitting out in the garage, which is like where I spend most of my summer.
150% of the time.
I would put a couple ice cubes in this, and this would be perfect just sitting out in the garage with a glass of this. With some ice. But so it's a light bodied wine, dry, white. According to the description that I'm reading online, it's not terribly unlike a Pinot Grigio. I don't know enough about
that. That would be correct.
That would be correct.
So with that, should we talk a little bit about these cheeses that we purchased yesterday? So we have four different sorts of cheese, and they're all kind of farmhouse style, and I'm not really sure what that means. So we have a St. Anthony, which the person that was selling the cheese said that they actually tried to make a cheddar.
Oh, they're Lucky Linda, which is one of their flagship cheeses. No, I know we didn't get that one, but that's the one that they were trying to replicate.
You're right. They were trying to do the Lucky Linda, which is their flagship. The Saint Anthony is the what is it? It's the Saint of Mistakes or something?
Yeah, the Saint of Mistakes, and they just said we experienced a glitch in the process, but instead of wasting it, they decided to try to salvage it.
I don't know. We haven't tried it. Maybe it's disgusting. I kind of doubt it.
So.
The other interesting thing about this that I don't know anything about, but it said it on the package, was that it's whiskey washed. But one of the ingredients in the cheese is actually Minnesota whiskey. Maybe it'll have some whiskey flavors in it. I'm not sure. Do you want a slice?
Yeah, let's try it. Okay. So it's a very hard cheese. Not a very hard cheese, but it is more of like on the Parmesan texture.
Yeah, I'd say slightly softer than Parmesan.
Yep. Real subtle notes, a little bit of nuttiness to it, but then it just finishes with this earthy, creamy flavor.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's really tasty.
It's salty, it's earthy, it's tangy, and it has that crumbly kind of Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad they decided not to waste a batch of cheese because this turned out very well.
No, it's really delicious. I don't taste any whiskey.
Well, that's just in the rind, though. I mean, that's... I know you're not the biggest rind.
I'm not going to eat the rind.
I will.
Yeah, he'll eat anything. he would eat the wax covering on a baby bell.
I would not. Yeah, no, I'm not tasting any of the whiskey out of the rind either.
I wonder what that does. I'm curious about that process, I guess. Maybe we should have invited them to join our podcast so they could explain.
I did get their business card, so.
There you go. Maybe we'll have them come back. So yeah, that is the St. Anthony.
Yes, and out of the two wines that we had, I would actually pair this with the Newhouse. This is more of a Newhouse style versus the Freiheit. The Freiheit is like real bright and fresh because of it's a red steak wine. The Newhouse is much more earthy and pairs well with the earthy tones out of this cheese.
I would agree. Do you want to try this French breakfast radish business?
Let's try this French. Okay, so tell me about this again.
Okay, I was at a Scandinavian restaurant in Minneapolis that has closed. Anyways, it was like a Finnish Scandinavian style restaurant. And as a starter, they had French breakfast radishes with butter, finished with a little sea salt or some sort of salt.
Well, let's give it a go.
And so I saw these French breakfast radishes at the farmer's market this morning, and I go, oh my God, I gotta get those. So it's unsalted butter, but I salted it with the Himalayan pink salt, and it's very fine salt.
Wow, that drastically alters the taste of the radish. First off, these radishes are much more mellow.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
So they're pink and white, and I've only seen them at either the farmer's market or at a co-op.
Correct.
I've never seen them at like your local Cub or Hy-Vee or anything like that.
Right.
But so they're a much more mellower radish. So if you don't like that real harsh radishy taste, this might be the way to go. But the butter really kind of mellows it even more. And then the salt it almost like it rewires the taste for everything and kind of comes out with this smooth, creamy, earthy, nutty flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. Delicious. So are you going to be brave enough to try this whiskey washed Munster?
So first off, I saw this Munster, and I've never seen a Munster at a local cheese shop before, and it is not what I was expecting at all. It's definitely got an aged casing to it.
But it said on the package, the born-on date was just last month. It was just started last month, so it's a very, very fresh. It almost looks like a brie, and it has the texture of like a brie with a very moldy exterior, though.
Okay, so here...
Okay. What do they have to say?
Okay, so this is the North Fork Whiskey Washed Munster, which they have won a ton of awards for. It's a French-style Munster and made with Minnesota 14 whiskey out of Panther Distillery up in Osakis.
Fun.
We should go there.
We've actually tried one of these. Well, I've tried one of their whiskeys. I tried their maple whiskey on the very first episode of our sister podcast, Beer, Bourbon, and Board Games. So be sure to check that out.
He's always got to plug his other podcast. I think you like your other podcast host better than me.
Well, I've always said that one is always the one that has the potential to blow up. This is my art house fun one. This is the one I just like
this
to do for fun.
So that the kids can listen to us drone on and on when we're dead.
This is my love letter to you guys, Felix, Leo, and Nova.
Very soft for a Munster.
We kind of have a warped perception of Munster because we have that processed Munster where it's hard. But like, I know that like real Munster cheeses tend to be softer.
It's like soft, like a blue or the cross between a blue and a brie, I would say, is what it reminds me of. And I bet it would be good with those radishes.
Yeah, if you are not into funky cheeses.
Not for those folks.
But if you are into funky cheeses, it is so creamy. It kind of has that nice, good funk to it. But it's just, and then that saltiness and creaminess. And this is like the first Munster where it doesn't have that Munstery taste because it's much more fresh and creamy and just almost like a pecanish taste, like a good fresh pecan.
Nice.
It's really good. It is very tasty. So that's my very first time ever having a Munster like this.
Yeah, it's my first time seeing anything like that.
And it is crazy good. If you are into softer cheeses like Brie's and Camemberts and all those kind of, this cheese is definitely for you. You probably want to have a little bit of love for blue cheese mixed into there, especially unless you skip the rind.
Yeah.
But it is very good. That is an amazing, well put together and mellowed out cheese. At a lot of other cheese shops that we go to, the cheese is definitely salty.
Mm-hmm.
These cheeses are cream forward.
Yeah.
It is cream freshness forward. There's still the saltiness to it, but I'm tasting way more of that milk.
Yeah.
That local dairy.
From the cows out in the parking lot. Do you want to try a sour ale at this point, or should we continue on with the cheeses? Or raspberry, vanilla, blueberry, or apricot?
I would like to try the apricot with another slice of that cheese.
Another slice of
the Munster.
Okay.
This is the Apropos from Eponymous Brewing, which is a barrel-aged golden sour with apricots.
Delicious.
Oh my God, that is such a good fruity, funky, sour beer smell right out of the bottle. Super effervescent. Very light, though, for a barrel-aged sour. The apricots give it a nice, good, light stone fruit finish to it. And these beers are probably the most perfect beer for beer and cheese tasting. I don't think that there are going to be very many beers that there are not going to be very many cheeses that don't go with these beers. And that is the perfect, these beers were designed for cheese pairing.
Delicious.
Yeah. Brookings isn't too far out of the way for a day trip.
It's a solid whole day trip for sure, but we've done worse, especially considering it's barrel aged.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. You expect it to have, so don't let that whole barrel aged golden sour think that this is going to be a really heavy, massive beer. First off, it's only a 5.1 ABV.
Mm-hmm.
It's very light in the mouthfeel, has a nice, good, almost an oaky finish. I'm wondering if it's oak barrels that they were on, but it blends very well with both the fruit and the sour funk of the beer.
Right.
And it pairs just so well with this Munster.
I am dying to try the raspberry vanilla. So I think that's what we should do next. So Rubescence. Let's see.
Wait, but this is the Rubescence vanilla, correct?
Yep. With vanilla and South Dakota raspberries.
Yep. Picked right in Brookings. Oh, I could smell the raspberries before. I mean, I didn't even pick up my glass. It's still sitting on the table.
I'm feeling like this is a sin drinking this in the basement. We need to be outside in the sunshine.
Wow. I didn't try this one. I had the blueberry one while I was at the brewery. So I just took a gamble on this one. This one, if you are a big fan of the sour beers that come out of New Glarus, this is hand over fist better.
It's less, more tart, less
fruity.
Sweet.
And less fruity. Yep.
Yeah. It's more fresh, carbonated.
More carbonated and more fresh raspberry. I mean, you know how there's like that candied raspberry flavor? That's kind of what the New Glarus one kind of has going on with it.
Not saying that's bad, though.
It's not saying delicious. That's bad. Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite beers. Yeah. Absolutely. But this one has more of like, I went to my grandpa's raspberry bushes and picked a bunch of raspberries.
Yeah, they definitely taste like, the wild raspberries that are a little tartar and less. Yep. You know, the raspberries that you buy at the grocery store taste exactly the same every single time. The raspberries up at our cabin, You just never know.
Yep.
They could be really tart. They could be really sweet. They could be somewhere in between.
And it really melt that vanilla really mellows this out.
Yeah.
So it really, it kind of comes, slides in at the finish there.
Yep.
But it never really overtakes the beer at all.
No.
And it just kind of rides along with that raspberry.
It doesn't, it doesn't taste like a pastry or anything like that. Where a lot of things that have vanilla added taste more like you're eating a, I don't know, some sort of pastry. But this doesn't. This is very sitting out in the sunshine, enjoying. And like I said, being in the basement right now is a sin.
And the barrel aged part of this comes across where, like in the apropos, it was very oaky.
Mm-hmm.
Where this one, it almost adds a burnt bite to the beginning of the flavor of the beer,
mm-hmm.
but then mellows out into that wood oakiness towards the end. I need a cheese pair with this one.
I think I'm going to give you, it's a mustard cheddar. It's much newer, less aged. It's soft. The person that sold us the mustard cheddar said that it has a very subtle mustard flavor. I can't imagine it's been aged very long.
It's very springy.
It reminds me almost of a mozzarella, like a, you know, like that kind of texture. Not a fresh mozzarella, but a slightly aged mozzarella.
It has a really nice sharp bite to it, but it's so soft. And again,
creamy
forward to it. I mean, this is just, this is like the most creamy cheese I have ever eaten.
That sort of cheese. For a cheddar.
Well, all three of them have
incredibly
been
creamy.
Very on the creamy side.
Yeah, but I feel like
that sharp bite of the cheddar pairs very well with the raspberry. Extremely mm-hmm. well.
And the last cheese that we have to try is their cheddar style farmstead cheese. And it looks very similar to the St. Anthony, and that's why I actually had to put the little signs up, because I wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
That's their Lucky Linda.
It didn't say Lucky Linda on the...
So do you remember when we were picking up the cheeses, I asked what their flagship cheeses were?
Right.
And they said that St. Anthony was one of theirs that was made off of a mistake, and that Lucky Linda was other one. And I said, just throw them both in the cart.
Oh,
I'm so pretty sure that this is the Lucky Linda. I was pretty sure we bought the Lucky Linda.
Okay.
So now this one is a lot springier texturally, where the other one, the St. Anthony had more of a Parmesan texture to it. This one is more...
It's almost like a really, like a Gruyere. I can never say the
Gruyere.
Or a Swiss, texture-wise. I haven't tasted it yet. It has that nutty, earthy flavor like a Parmesan, but it does not have the same texture at all.
Yep. And also, because of the fact that it's such a young cheddar, it doesn't have that sharpness to it. That sharpness is almost gone, replaced again by that creamy, nutty flavor profile.
It's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So the last thing that we have to try today is this barrel-aged sour ale with South Dakota blueberries. This one comes in at 6.5 ABV. And this is the one that the brewer was saying that they were out in the fields picking blueberries. So super interested to try and see what it's like.
No, this was the
although one... I have to suck down this last one so I have room in my glass.
I tried this one at the brewery. It was really good.
Was it?
Now, if any of you guys are Doctor Who fans out there, Eponymous Brewing has a lot of Doctor Who themed beers. They even have a TARDIS tap handle on their Bad Wolf beer.
AKA super nerds.
Yes.
I'm just kidding. I married a super nerd, so who am I to talk? Okay, so I'm going to open this one up. So this one's much less sour. It almost reminds me of a weeded or like a fruited ale.
Yeah.
Because the other two were so sour, I kind of wish we would have opened this one first.
The blueberry, the funk of the sour, and the oak really mellow this one out and kind of mute it.
But it's really good.
It's very well done. It's extremely well done.
But it is definitely a lot less tart than the other two.
It doesn't pop like the other ones did. The other two popped quite a bit. This one is more of just, you know, I've had a couple beers. I'm going to put my feet up and relax a little bit and just kind of sip this one down.
Yeah. So that's kind of our tastings. I think, personally, that we should bring the rest of these beers upstairs, the rest of whatever we haven't drank, and sit outside. I keep saying that.
I guess I'm heading to my fortress of solitude in the garage.
any last thoughts before we say goodbye?
No. Well, thanks for coming back. And
and we hope to do this more often.
Yeah.
Hopefully life is settling down a little bit.
I think it is. I think we're finally getting to that point where it's settling down a little
bit.
Well, I think that is all from the podcasting basement. So we are going to go outside and enjoy the nice summer Minnesota weather while we can. So thanks for joining us.
All right. Bye.
Prost. Thanks for joining us at Wandering the Weekend. For recipes from this week's episode, visit us at wanderingtheweekend.com or on Facebook. You can also find us on Instagram at wandering_weekendmn. This has been a Beer Ploma LLC production. Be sure to follow us on Untappd to find out what breweries we'll be hitting next. Or join us on our Facebook page or on Instagram to get the latest in craft beer news.
Yeah, do you want to try one of these mustard cheddars?
Mmm.
It's really good. You'll like it. Just lick it. No?